Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. It's an understatement for me to remind us of the very difficult economic times that we're living in. I know there are many of you who are experiencing that difficulty maybe even more acutely than others, but we're all feeling the pinch when it comes to unemployment, when it comes to bankruptcies, when it comes to escalating costs in health care, workman's comp, for those of you who have businesses, rising gas prices. Everything around us seems to be going up, but income seems to be going down. And I understand how that can create a panic in the heart of the individual. It's not my job to stand up here and to spout off platitudes that somehow make you feel better, to assuage some kind of angst that you have in your heart or in your soul about the economic times that we're living in. Even if that were my job, I wouldn't do it. Because what we need in times like these are not platitudes that make us feel better. We need some substance. We need some truth that will help us live better. We need to understand, I'm sure if we just stop for a moment and in the panic of everything and just think about it, there are some in this room who've gone through more difficult times than this. Some of you have parents and grandparents who went through the Great Depression, who went through World War II, and you experienced what it was like to not just have this or that ration, but almost everything that you consumed on a monthly basis rationed. And I'm sure they went through times when they didn't know where their next meal was coming from, and in many instances didn't have a next meal for quite a while. But my generation, we've become soft, and we've become kind of lazy, and we've become we've embraced an attitude of expectation that we are to expect certain things to take place without putting forth any effort to cause those things to be realized. And we need to come back and remember. We need to come back and reassess, you know, what life is really all about and what these times are really all about. I think God allows these things. I'm not here to say that God is responsible for what we're going through. God allows these things to happen to teach us some very important lessons. And I think it's timely that we, as we're walking through the Sermon on the Mount, we come to this point where Jesus has to deal with the matters of our material possessions. And as you read through this particular chapter in Matthew 6, particularly verses 19 through the end of the chapter, there's one principle, there's one truth that rises to the surface and becomes very, very obvious to all of us if you read it with your eyes open and your mind open. And it's the simple truth that times like these teach us to depend upon God. And not on the government, and not on the business, not on the employer, and not even on ourselves. Now, I know that, I don't know about you, but I was raised to believe that, you know, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You know, if you want to make things happen, then you get out and you make things happen. My father was a strong believer, if you don't work, you don't eat. And there was more than one occasion when I came to the table and my plate was turned over and I was dismissed from the table because I didn't carry my weight during the week. I mean, I was raised that way. But even with that kind of an attitude that, you know, we're responsible for number one, we're responsible for taking care of ourselves, I've come to understand that even putting my best effort to take care of myself will never be enough, will never be adequate. I need to learn to trust in God. I need to depend upon the Lord day by day, moment by moment, for all that I need in order to survive, to live, and to enjoy what God has blessed us with. In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to focus our attention just on the first part of this teaching on wealth, verses 19 through 21. And as you look through that, Matthew 6, 19 to 21, I want us to, again, come to an understanding that nothing we set aside for ourselves here on earth is going to last. I hope you know that. I hope you understand that. It really doesn't make any sense for an individual to work and to slave all of his life to amass a great amount of wealth, to give a big portion of it to the government in taxes, and to leave it all behind when he dies. Nothing we set aside for ourselves here on earth will last. Nothing. Not our time, our efforts, our money, our power, our talents, our abilities, our education, or anything else, any other resource that we enjoy. When we leave, it will all be left behind. It will be spent. It'll be traded. It'll be lost. It'll be devalued. It'll be stolen. It'll wear out. It'll be forgotten. And in the end, as I said, when life is over, anything else that we have to speak of will stay here when we're gone. The only thing that will last, the only thing that will translate over from this life into the next life, is our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Jesus says it this way. Look at Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, it's important to have a right understanding. It really is important to have a right understanding of what we have, where it comes from, what it's to be used for, and how we are responsible for its use. It's important that we understand those principles. God blesses us for a reason. And we have been blessed for a reason. It's necessary to distinguish between what we need and what we want. And I think that's where many of us get into problems financially. It's where we get into problems with the resources that we have. We are not able to distinguish between what we need and what we want. We confuse the two ideas. It's necessary also to realize that the Lord, while blessing us by meeting our needs, He does so that we might continue to faithfully serve Him. We do not receive from the Lord to keep to ourselves. We receive from the Lord in order to bless others with the blessing. Now, I know that's a tough one. And I know there are some of us who scratch our heads and we would probably say, well, I don't have enough to share with other individuals, let alone get by myself. Well, you don't understand the biblical principles of wealth. You don't understand the biblical principles of blessing. In this verse, Jesus literally says, treasure not for yourselves treasures. Treasure not for yourselves treasures. Now, that's the literal translation of that phrase. The second treasure can mean anything that we possess. It's not necessarily confined to material wealth. It can mean anything that we possess. Time, education, opportunity, influence, as well as money and lands and so on and so forth. Again, it's not confined to financial wealth, but it includes everything that we value. That's what the second treasure in that phrase means. Now, the first treasure in that phrase, when you literally translate that, in your English Bible, it's translated lay not up. But really, the Greek word means to treasure. It's thesaurizo. And it means to, literally means to treasure up for yourself. It speaks of the attitude that we have, which is really the heart of the problem with material wealth. In essence, Jesus warns us against treasuring the things that we treasure. Why? Because when we do so, they become idols. They become the focus of our attention in life. And if my mother taught me, and she did teach me a lot of things as I was growing up as a child, and thank God for her, but if she taught me one thing about material possessions, it was this: the more you hold on to it, the better apt you are to lose it. The more you hold on to it, the better apt you are to lose it. When you allow something in this life, in the material world, to become the sole focus of who you are and what you are, you need to be prepared to lose it. The Old Testament warns us against accumulating wealth for the sake of wealth. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying the material possessions that God blesses you with. But the Bible warns us against accumulating wealth for the sake of having wealth. Proverbs 23:4 says, "Don't weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it," or your pursuit of it. That's what the Hebrew word translated consideration means. It's the pursuit of something. Don't pursue it. Life is more than just the pursuit of stuff. Paul stresses the right attitude. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at it together. 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's way over in the New Testament. Look at verses 6 through 12. 1 Timothy 6. 6 to 12. Now godliness, and listen carefully, read carefully. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Now notice, Jesus doesn't say those who are rich will fall into temptation and a snare. He says, Paul says those who desire it. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Not money itself. Money is amoral. It has no morality to it. It's not good or evil. It's your attitude toward it that determines whether or not it's good or evil. Paul says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Can you imagine that? That the pull of the world and material wealth would draw people away from the kingdom of Christ? Absolutely. That's why the Bible warns us against it. And again, it's not having these things that's wrong. It's the inordinate affection toward these things. It's the desire, the all-encompassing desire to have these things that lead a person down the pathway to self-destruction. You will sell your soul. Once the idea, once the attitude, once the lust for material gain grabs a hold of you, you'll sell your soul for the next dollar. He goes on to say, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Both the Old and the New Testament recognize our right to enjoy the things that God has blessed us with. Again, look at verse 17 in 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to be arrogant, but to trust. Excuse me, let me go back and look at that again. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things, what? To enjoy. God blesses so that we can enjoy the material blessings, yes. But not to keep them, not to hoard them unto ourselves, to enjoy them, yes. But the greater enjoyment of the blessings of God is not to be able to keep it up on a tally sheet, put it in a bank somewhere, and store it for a later day. The greater joy for the Christian with regard to material wealth is to be a blessing to other people. Jesus doesn't condemn us having material possessions. He warns us about hoarding them. Don't treasure your treasures on earth. The emphasis is storing up for yourself stuff. Storing up stuff for yourself. That's the emphasis that Jesus warns us against. To honestly earn and to save and to give is wise and it's good. But to hoard and to spend only on yourself is not only unwise, it's a sin. It's a sin. God expects, even commands us, that we be generous with all that He has blessed us with. And that's the right attitude that a Christian must have if he is going to deal with the blessings of God righteously. Abram was a very wealthy man. Abram of the Old Testament. As was Job, a very wealthy man. And after the trials of Job were over, God blessed him 10 times greater than he was before the trials came. So God is not interested in keeping his people in poverty. He wants to bless his people. But his people have to have the right attitude toward material wealth if God is to bless them in that fashion. David was blessed by God with great material wealth as king of Israel. And even his son Solomon enjoyed greater wealth than David did. The prophet Isaiah came from a very wealthy family. God blessed these individuals and others in the Bible with considerable means in this life. The Bible does commend those who work hard, who are industrious, and who use wisdom in investing the material resources of life. The Bible commends them, not condemns them. The attitude that God looks with greater favor upon those who are humbled by their own poverty is not in the Scripture at all. It's an idea concocted by mankind in order to flaunt his own spirituality. Proverbs 6, verses 6, 7, and 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. She stores up, the ant stores up in the summertime in order to provide for himself during the winter when there is no harvest. The foolish grasshopper, on the other hand, eats while the food is in front of him and doesn't store anything up and suffers for it in the winter. Matthew 25, 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. Proverbs 14, 23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. God is interested in his people enjoying the wealth of his creation. But Jesus warns us Don't treasure your treasures here on earth. They've been given to you for a reason, and it's not to keep unto yourselves. Listen to what he says. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, now notice this, notice the principle, where your treasure is, there is where your heart is also. We read that, but we think in reverse. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. No, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where you place the greater value in life, that's where your heart is. That's where you'll live your life. Because the heart, to the Hebrew individual, the heart was the center of life. So whatever you value most in life, that's where you're going to live. That's the arena that you're going to live in. So Jesus warns us about accumulating or having the desire to accumulate a lot of worldly wealth and material because that's where we're going to live. He would rather that we treasure the things of heaven because that's where he wants us to live. Now, when we invest our time in our energy and our efforts, our material resources, our education, influence, talents, and abilities in the work of the Lord, they build up treasures in heaven. That's where our treasure should be anyway, amen? Rather weak, but I'll take that. A spiritual principle regarding wealth that we would do well to remember is a very simple, and we hear it all the time and we say it all the time, but it's a very profound truth. God blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. That's a spiritual principle that we would all well remember. Our lives would be so much better, and we would have a better understanding of the wealth of the kingdom of God and our place in it and our responsibility for it if we simply understood and practiced that spiritual axiom, that spiritual truth. God blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. We are to be conduits of God's grace and mercy and provision to those around us. And when those around us are blessed by us, they'll be drawn into the kingdom through our witness. Jesus said at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." When we do with what God blesses us to do, other individuals are impacted by it and they're drawn into the kingdom because of it. But notice finally, in this text, the heart has to be right first. The heart has to be right first. If the heart is right, the focus in life will be right. The use of our resources will be right. Our relationships will be right if our heart is right. The person who is right with the Lord will be generous and happy in his giving to the Lord's work. The person who is covetous, the person who is self-indulgent and stingy, has a good reason to question his relationship to the Lord. Because his heart is not right with regard to material possessions. One final thought in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Solomon says in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, "Honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Here again is another spiritual principle with regard to material wealth. When you take whatever you have, no matter how great or how small it may be, and again, I know many of us are suffering during these times. And I've heard people say, "Pastor, you know, I'm going to have to cut back. And Pastor, you know, I can't really give to this, or I can't really, you know, I can't share in that area because, you know, I just don't have what I used to have." Well, listen, dear friends, I'm going through that myself. My wife was laid off of work and hasn't found a new job since she's been laid off for 4 months now. And has that impacted our family? Yes, it has. I'm not standing up here speaking to you about things that I have no knowledge of, We're going through the same things in our own family, in our own life. But I am here to tell you that what the Bible says is true. If we honor the Lord with what we have, He will bless us with more than what we have. But He will bless us more than what we have, not that we can keep it, put it in the bank, and save it up for a rainy day. He blesses us more than what we have so that we can use that to further His kingdom's work, to be a blessing to other individuals. And the more we give, the more He gives. And the more we get, the more we give so that He can give even more. We become a conduit of the blessings of God to the people around us. And it's not that we lose anything in the transition between the heavenly resources and the worldly benefit of that. We are blessed in the giving also. He blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others, so that He might further bless us, that we might be a further blessing to others, that He might further bless us. It's a continuum that God has set in motion. It breaks down when we break down in our thinking. God has blessed me with these things that I might keep them and that I might enjoy them. And that's when the doors to the heavens shut. The more I give in the name of the Lord, the more I receive from the Lord, so that I might be able to give more in the name of the Lord. No one can improve on that principle for handling material wealth. No one can. Wall Street can't improve on it. The White House can't improve on it. Sacramento can't improve on it. The IRS can't improve on it. Nobody can improve on the principle of handling material wealth than what you have in the Scriptures. In the 36 years that Nancy and I have been married and the nearly 40 years that I have been in ministry, I have found this to be true. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. Scripture tells us, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask in order to expend it on yourselves. That's not the attitude Jesus says we ought to have with regard to material wealth. Do not treasure for yourselves treasures in the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where no one can touch it. It can never be destroyed, but it's waiting for you when you translate over, when you cross over Jordan and get to the other side. Does that mean that if I start practicing this, that I'm going to become immensely wealthy? No, that's not what that means. Insofar as material wealth is concerned, absolutely not. But what it does mean, dear friends, is you will start plugging into a spiritual truth that you have been missing for a long time, and that is, you're not going to need to worry about it anymore because God's going to take care of it, because He's going to take care of you. That's what He's been wanting to do all along. Sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let God do what God does best, and that's to take care of the things that He loves. Father in heaven, when we come to the matters of material possessions and start talking about that, we get very, very uncomfortable. But Lord, Your Son has revealed to us once again a very important principle, and that is, Lord God, that what we focus our life on is where we're really going to live and what we're going to be living for. And if it's the things in the earth, Lord God, then we'll lose it all because we're not going to live here forever. And those things that we spend our time, our energy, our talents, our resources on, our abilities, are going to stay behind when we leave this life. So help us, Lord God, not to treasure our treasures here on the earth. Help us, Lord, to have a heavenly attitude toward all things in this life, including the material possessions, including the non-material possessions, our education, our talents and our abilities, our influence, and to use them wisely, Lord God, so that we might lay up for ourselves treasures in glory, that we might be of greater influence upon those around us, that they might see the way that we live our lives and be drawn into the kingdom of God through the witness that we have. And Father, there's no better time to be able to demonstrate this than the times that we're living in, when everybody is so concerned and upset about the economic instability of the country, Lord. What a great time for us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, that we're not going to worry, and we're not going to fret, and we're not going to be upset, and we're not going to throw up our hands and give up hope, Lord God. We're going to stay firmly fixed on Jesus, and we're going to allow you to do exactly what you promised that you would do. You will take care of us, and you will do it abundantly, because that's your promise. You take care of the birds of the air. You take care of the flowers of the field, and you'll take care of us because we're more important to you than they. So God, help us not to just read those words, but to embrace them with our heart. Father, the greatest wealth, the greatest riches that we can enjoy in this life is a relationship with you. And there are so many, Lord God, who've skipped that. They've missed it. They've ignored it altogether. And so, Lord, they can't understand what we're talking about because they don't understand who you are and what you can do in a person's life when they fully trust you with everything in life. So I pray, Lord God, that soul, man, woman, boy, or girl, will come to the place in his or her life where they realize, Lord, what they're looking for, fame and fortune and popularity and acceptance and all of those other things, Lord God, that the flesh truly desires, when we lay those things aside and we focus in on what you desire, then that's where real life transformation takes place. That's when the things of the world pale in comparison to the things of glory, the things of heaven. And that's when the spirit becomes excited and the life becomes full to overflowing, when we seek the things of the kingdom of God and not the things of the kingdom of the world. So, Lord, I pray that you'll draw us back to the cross and humble us before you, Lord God. Help us to put aside what we want and what we have so that we can embrace what you want and what you have and what you so freely offer to us. Father, maybe we just need to come to the altar and pray because we're going through a difficult time and we need to have our attitude checked. Lord God, we need to allow your Holy Spirit to correct us in our thinking. And if that's so, Lord God, then move us to the altar that we can spend time with you here. But whatever the desire is and whatever the heart feels the Holy Spirit moving upon us to do, then may we do it while we have the opportunity. In Jesus I ask, amen. Stand with me, if you will. David's going to lead us in this time of decision, a time of invitation for us to come to terms with our possessions and the attitude that we have with our possessions. I don't know where you are in your life, dear friends. I don't know if you're following after the Lord with your whole heart or if you're following after the world. But understand what the Bible teaches us. You follow after the world. If that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, then you're going to be the loser in the end. Scripture asks us, Jesus asks us, what does it profit an individual if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What are you willing to give to the Lord that he might bless and give back to you tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold? What are you willing to invest in his kingdom so that he in turn might invest a greater portion of his kingdom in you? See, that's the principle of material wealth in the kingdom of God. It's not what we have that matters. It's what he has and is willing to offer us that matters most. If you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come and embrace Him and understand that in Christ Jesus you'll have far greater in a few moments than you'll ever have in a dozen lifetimes in this world. Dear friend, if you need to come to the altar and just lay some things before the Lord and ask God to help you figure out and work out some of these issues, then you come to the altar. You do what the Holy Spirit moves upon you to do. This is your time, and this is God's time in your life. Make the most of it while we have the opportunity. David, lead us as we sing. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.